You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Over the last few weeks, we've given you an inside look on just about every Texans draft pick. Only one more to go. And in today's show, we bring in someone who's covered the last pick for the Texans, the seventh rounder, Jermaine Kelly, throughout his entire college career at San Jose State. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, alongside my partner and co-host Brian Patterson from House of Houston. Thanks for jumping on the Locked On Texans Podcast, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. We're part of the FanRag Sports Network, and on the line with us for this one is Mohammed Bafaki, who covers San Jose State sports for the Spear. Do I have that right, Mohammed?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, perfect, man. Thanks for joining us, and let's get down to business. What can you tell us about Texans' new cornerback, Jermaine Kelly? What's he going to bring to the table for the Texans?
Well, you know, the Texans are definitely getting someone with good speed, good size, good length. You know, he came over here. Originally, he was supposed to be going to UCLA. He was supposed to stay in L.A., had a stellar prep career at Salesian High School, a powerhouse here in the state of California. Was supposed to go to UCLA, ended up going to Washington, was a redshirt, ended up 2 games into his redshirt freshman season. He ended up having a season-ending ankle injury, which required surgery. Eventually, he ended up transferring to San Jose State to join his brother, Jeremy Kelly, who was also on the team.
What kind of positives does he bring? What was he really good at when he was at San Jose State?
Yeah, you know, the secondary at San Jose State was actually one of the lone bright spots this past season, and part of it was Jermaine Kelly's presence. So he was third in the Mountain West with 12 pass breakups, and one of the main games that he really stood out was against Colorado State and Michael Gallup. Gallup was a third-round draft choice by the Dallas Cowboys, and he was the Mountain West's top receiver. But going up, matching up against Jermaine Kelly, he only had 7 receptions for 47 yards. So Kelly, who's 6'1", a little over 190, was matching up against a guy of his size, of his stature, and matched up well. And I think that'll be kind of the emphasis moving forward, is the guy's able to play with big physical receivers. And I think that will benefit him tremendously with his length, with his speed, and with his size.
What about special teams? Because, you know, that's going to be a huge deal. He's a seventh round pick. They need him to be a special teams player, especially early on in his career. I mean, he's behind Jonathan Joseph and Kareem Jackson and Aaron Colvin, Kevin Johnson, a lot of vets. So the guy is going to have to come in and really help out the Texans special teams. Did he do much at San Jose State in that area?
Yeah, you know what? He actually did. And he was kind of a specialty athlete player where he was just placed all over the field. And punt returns, kick returns, he was out there making big hits, big plays. You know, he had 20 bench press reps during his pro day. If he was invited to the combine, that would have been second among DBs. So he's physical. He's able to, with his 4.4 speed as well, he's able to get out as a gunner and be able to really get down the field and quick and be physical going up against other guys as well. So I think that'll be an area where just the fact that he'll be on the field, he'll be able to turn some heads and impress from a special teams perspective. And hopefully from there on forward, he'll actually be able to prove his ability to perhaps get in the mix, whether it's in the nickel, so on and so forth, to get into the mix of the defensive back race there.
How was he with the stronger opponents that you guys faced throughout this past season, also in past seasons as well? How was he with his tackling? I mean, was he able to overpower, or did it seem like he was struggling, you know, to get the guy down whenever, you know, he would, you know, be on his assignment? How did you feel he was as a tackler? Would you say mediocre or above average or, you know, poor?
I would actually say he's above average. You know, the Mountain West has produced a lot of good running backs. Rashad Penny was a really high draft choice coming out of San Diego State. Jermaine Kelly was really a bright spot also in the tackling department, because that was a weakness for San Jose State, was stopping the rush. but he did a good job. He separated himself from a couple other guys on the secondary and shown that he's able to not only cover but also be able to get in the backfield and make those open field tackles once you know the defense isn't able to get stops and you know the front. So once he got to the second level, third level of the defense, the rushing attack for the opposing teams, he was able to make those big stops to, you know, negate any long rushing plays.
Seems like a real nice personality. Got a chance to talk with him after he got into town. You know, one of the things that he talked about was coming to Houston pre-draft. He got a chance to meet J.J. Watt, which was a big thing for him. He has a really good personality, doesn't he? A really interesting guy, it seems like.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's definitely a class act, stand-up guy. And, you know, that's actually something interesting that you mentioned there. You know, he goes on a visit to the Texans, and, you know, there seems to be this this close connection between the Texans and San Jose State. So it was a pretty awesome experience for him. And, you know, he said some really great words on his Instagram post of being able to visit the facilities and meeting J.J. Watt, who's also a stand-up guy, you know, and what he's done to that community. So I think he'll fit right into that system and right into that environment. And definitely looking forward to it from our end over here in San Jose State.
Yeah, he ended up at San Jose State, of course, and he went from school to school, you know, ended up at Washington, you know, as well. How do you feel? Is there a reason as to why he didn't settle in at one school? And it's great that you guys were the beneficiaries. He finished up at San Jose State, but do you think it was because he was trying to find the right fit with the right system? Was it the injuries? Could you give us some insight on that as far as, you know, why, you know, he kind of bounced around a bit? You know, our former backup quarterback, he did the same thing because he had to find a system that fit him, and he was finally able to do it at Pitt. I'm talking about Tom Savage. Do you think right. It's kind of the same with Kelly?
You know what? I beg to differ in that sense, only because, as I mentioned, you know, he wanted to really join his brother and be able to play there, but he also showed that he was able to play at the Pac-12 level. It was just too bad that, you know, the season-ending injury held him back. But he was able to start as a redshirt freshman alongside Marcus Peters, who's now, you know, one of the best corners in the league, who's, you know, with the Rams now and was with the Chiefs. So I think he showed that he could play at that level, but the opportunity to play alongside his brother, come back to California, be a little bit closer to home, and join a secondary as well that was coached by Will Harris, who played in the NFL, went to USC. I think it was definitely fit, and also just the comfort level, and I think that's also why he was able to excel.
I'm going to ask you if the seventh round was a surprise for him in just a second, but just want to remind our listeners real quick that if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, tell your friends, let them know they can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, most anywhere you'll find your favorite podcast. And if you'd like to check out more podcasts from our national Locked On Network, go to LockedOnSports.com, our new Locked On Network website. We have podcasts for nearly every NFL and NBA team, plus the Locked On NFL Draft and Locked On NFL shows as well. It's all on LockedOnSports.com. That's LockedOnSports.com. Muhammad, I want to get to the reason maybe he wasn't drafted higher. He's a seventh-round pick. Is this where you expected him to go? And what are the negatives? What are the things that you think when you're scouting him that you think, well, maybe he's a real back-end guy and not somebody that is going to excel as a starter at the next level?
Right. So, you know, there was a couple of other prospects coming out of San Jose State that we figured could be one of those late draft picks, anywhere between, you know, the fifth and the seventh round. And it did come with a little bit surprise that it was Kelly, but I think he had a stellar pro day. And it was interesting because I think for most of us over here, we thought it would really come down between him and Andre Sauchere to figure out who would be the one to get a draft, you know, selected in the draft. And sure enough, Sauchere ended up getting picked up as undrafted free agent to the Texans as well. But I think one thing that kind of made him drop a little bit was, you know, he had a few slip ups during this pro day where he had to repeat the drill. One particular drill, the 20-yard shuttle, he slipped several times, which didn't result in a good time. And I think that's important for teams to pay attention to because, you know, having that burst and the lateral quickness it's important when you're dealing with shifty receivers and having to, you know, accelerate, especially with pass catching running backs as well. And you see how they've become so explosive. So I think that was kind of one area that maybe dropped him a bit. But otherwise, I think his size and his strength and his length, I think that definitely complements him really well.
You mentioned Sasha. Let's get right into him, because he's also with the Texans, undrafted free agent, another cornerback, pretty much the same size. Much similarity between these two guys, and what are the pluses and minuses for him?
Yeah, with Sasha Ray, you know, he had a really tremendous junior season, and for some reason slipped a little bit his senior year. And I think a lot of that was just fatigue. You know, this was a defense, San Jose State defense, that allowed a lot of big run plays to the opposing teams. You know, their run defense wasn't that great. So a lot of time of possession was spent being spent on defense. However, you know, in terms of pass yards, you know, this was a secondary that only allowed about less than 200 or around 200 yards per game. So the secondary, that was one of the strengths. But with Sasha Ray, yeah, that drop his senior year was kind of one of those things that was kind of caught us by surprise over here, because his junior year, he had a tremendous season, and he was able to play in one of the senior bowls, which got him on the radar for some teams. And it was really no surprise that he ended up with the Texans, just because it seems like the Texans have had this recent history of taking San Jose State guys.
Yeah, I want to get to a couple other guys that they picked up, but which one of those two guys do you think is more likely to excel in the NFL, Kelly or Sasha Ray?
You know, at this point, I would say Kelly. I just think he is, he has kind of like the full package and is NFL ready. Now, is he going to make the 53-man roster? We'll see how he does through OTAs. But I will say that I feel like in terms of being NFL ready, he has all the tools.
Okay, so you're sitting at CEFCU Stadium, and you know you're going through the motions of the season as a fan, and you watch both of these guys out in the field. Who gets you more excited going out on the field and doing their best stuff?
It's a good question. I think both of them are really tremendous guys. They bring a lot of energy, and like I said, they called themselves the money team in the secondary. They were all about their business, and I think they both complement each other very well, and I think they'll only help each other being there, because I think they know what their strengths are, they know what their weaknesses are, what they need to improve on as well. So I think they're both in a great position to see, just to have a friendly competition, but also to, you know, be on top of one another, to be like, you know what, if there's a slip up here or there, I got your back, and you're going to improve. And you saw that during Pro Day as well, and the scouts that were there, I'm sure, noticed it as well. So I think the Texans are in a pretty good position to have both of them there.
Sasha Ray also good on special teams?
Yeah, Sasha Ray, I like him as a real lockdown defender, is really good in one-on-one positions. Probably should have had a little more plays, let a couple interceptions go. But I think in terms of speed, he has the edge there. And I think both of them, like I said, really just complement each other very well.
Kickoff and punt coverage, though, Sasha Ray can handle that?
Yes, but I think with in terms of just strength and longevity, Kelly does have a slight edge, but I think Sasha Ray can definitely withstand, you know, the special teams as well.
Next guy I want to get on the list of Texans players that have gone to San Jose State, Tyler Ervin. Last year, he missed almost the entire season with an injury. He's also known as Jermaine Kelly's barber, we found out. He used to cut Jermaine Kelly's hair back at San Jose State. What do you remember about Tyler Ervin in his days at San Jose State?
Yeah, Tyler Ervin, also a guy that kind of grew up in the region that Jermaine Kelly grew up in. He also had a great tenure at San Jose State. And, you know, San Jose State's one of those schools that you're probably not going to get all the big-time four-star, five-star recruits coming out of high school. But there's definitely diamonds in the rough, and Tyler Ervin's definitely one of them.
The big thing for – I think, Brian, you would agree with this. The big thing we need from Tyler Ervin more than anything this season is a breakout year a little bit for him as a running back and maybe wide receiver coming out of the backfield, because – it's a situation right now where he's got to take that next step forward And we just haven't seen much from him on offense. We've seen a lot more from him on special teams.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, he's been hurt quite a bit, which kind of leads me into my question about Irvin. As far as his availability throughout college, how was his injuries back then? You know, because he has been hurt every season since he's been with the Texans. You know, I have to wonder, you know, is it something wrong with our training regimen? Was he pretty healthy throughout his tenure with San Jose State?
Yeah, you know, he did miss the 2012 season, but his final two seasons at San Jose State, he was definitely on the field a lot. And as a matter of fact, his senior year, played in all 13 games, rushed for over 1,600 yards, and 13 touchdowns. So he definitely was a key player on the team. And I think that's something that also has surprised some Spartan faithful, is him and fellow alums taking that next step and being kind of consistent at the pro level. And that's what we're waiting for, too. We're waiting for that breakthrough season, and whether it's special teams or being an extra ball carrier in the backfield. I think people are anxiously waiting for him to make his presence on the field, because we're pretty aware of what he's able to do.
Yeah, he still hasn't made it out there yet for OTAs. He's got a new number this year. He's moved from 34 to 21. So maybe that will benefit him. In Houston, I feel like you got to bring it if you're going to wear number 34. So maybe that's good that he gets off the 34 for now. I want to ask you about the last guy that's on the Texans roster from San Jose State that we haven't mentioned. But first, just want to remind everybody that if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, just like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, email us at lockedontexans@mail.com. If you forget any of that, it's all in the show description of each podcast. Easy to find for you. We always love hearing from you, so please email us a question or perhaps record a message for us using the voice memo on your phone. We'll definitely try to answer it on the show. Send it to lockedontexans@mail.com. That's lockedontexans@mail.com. All right, Muhammad, we got one more guy to talk about from San Jose State. We are San Jose State Central down here in Houston on the Third Coast. That's David Quesenberry. He's just been an incredible story, comeback story. It's been a long journey for him. I don't even know if he's before your time, because it's been a few years, even though this is really only his second year on the football field with the Texans. But what does it mean to San Jose State to see what he's been able to do, what he's been able to come back from? Is this a story that's still followed there? People still care about what's going on with Quesenberry and his journey back to playing in the NFL?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and yeah, like you mentioned, it's a little bit before my time, but just recently, you know, with having to hear him overcome, you know, cancer and battling that. And, you know, it was during an interesting time, because, you know, the Hurricane Harvey hit. We at San Jose State, the football team, decided to, you know, pay their due, and they were selling Houston Strong shirts. So there's definitely a close connection between San Jose State and Houston, and it's definitely amazing to see. And David Quesenberry is one of those guys that, you know, shows the resilience of both, you know, both him, both the city of Houston. He exemplifies it perfectly. And just recently, you know, overcoming cancer, you know, his brother gets drafted by the Chargers. He's definitely someone we're really looking forward to seeing on the field. And just for him to make it to this point of, you know, what he's gone through and leading up to now, it's definitely something we're all pretty excited about.
Yeah, with San Jose State, you know, being the target for many of the Texans recruits over the past couple of seasons, what do you think that those players coming out of that system with that coaching have that special that's quite appealing to the Texans? What do you think in your opinion about that?
You know, that's a good point. I would say weather, but who knows? You know, it's funny because obviously the NBA finals are now, but just a week ago was the Western Conference finals, and the Bay Area and Houston probably weren't looking at each other as friends, more like enemies. But they've built this great bridge and this foundation and this pipeline. And it's something that I've thought about myself, you know, what has kind of gone into it all. But I think a lot of it is perhaps the culture. You know, what Houston has created there, what San Jose State is trying to create. It certainly has turned the heads of the scouts and, you know, the coaches there for the Texans. And I think it's just knowing what you're going to get out of those smaller mid-major schools. And I think that's where you really need to key in on. And of course you're going to have your big time athletes from big time programs. But what can you do in those later rounds? And to be able to make that trek here, and you got to go to Stanford's pro days, you got to go to, you know, Cal's. There's some pretty big schools in California, and making that small stop to San Jose State, as if whether you're on your way to Stanford or not, it definitely allows you to see what else is out there. And truly, the Texans have found something in San Jose State, and you know, three players now on the roster over the last 6 years. So it's pretty interesting to see them, but. We'll see if it continues. But that's 3 in 6 years. We'll see what it has in store moving forward.
Would you say it's taken you by surprise?
Yes, you know what, it has. But I think once we saw Jermaine Kelly, you know, it was between Pro Day and between the draft early in April. Once he had that visit to the Texans and met J.J. Watt and talked about the experience that he had there and seeing himself playing for a franchise like that, I think at that point we kind of figured, you know what, there's definitely a great chance. And whether it's him or whether it's another player, we can definitely see another player added to that franchise.
One of the big NFL storylines, of course, has been the players kneeling during the national anthem, protesting during the national anthem. And San Jose State has a unique connection to all of this because the guys that are famous are honored for this, for what they did, for the statement that they made against what was going on racially back in 1968. When they were on the podium in Mexico City at the Olympics were Tommy Smith and John Carlos. And you guys have a statue, I believe, right, of Tommy Smith at San Jose State.
Yeah, I pretty much walk past it every day on my way to class. The building that I typically have my classes in is literally facing adjacent to the statue.
How do people feel there about what's going on? Because these guys, you know, they were honored for the last – most of the last decade prior to all this. And now I just wonder if people changed their mind. Is there a thought process that people have changed their mind about these two guys and what they were protesting and what it meant to that period of time? And does this do anything to their legacy? And is this something that's thought about on the campus there a lot?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, obviously they say history repeats itself, and here we are kind of living in an era where we're starting to see that play a huge role. But, you know, they kind of pioneered it all. And Peter Norman, the second guy, the other finisher who also decided to stand in solidarity with Tommy Smith and John Carlos, you know, there's a place where they leave that spot open for whoever wants to pass by a campus that can stand on it to just kind of put yourself in that shoe, in that position. And, you know, we're nearing the 50-year anniversary of it. So, you know, whether it's CNN or ABC, there's definitely a lot of presence on campus trying to really put the two together of then versus now. So it's really interesting to see how everything is kind of turn between then and now, but also kind of come together. But it's definitely a blessing to have their presence on campus and felt and really being able to kind of grasp at how far we've come, but still how far, you know, there is to go as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting how the tables have turned. People kind of forget their history amongst all this. It's bizarre to me, but a lot of what's going on, I think, is bizarre to me. Let me ask you, because I know a lot of Texans fans, they need to keep track, keep an idea of what's going on at San Jose State, since we keep bringing guys to the Houston Texans. How do people follow you? And of course, obviously follow what's going on with San Jose State sports there.
Right. So they will actually be having a few nationally televised games this season. Usually they'll have a good 3 to 4 every year. CBS Sports is really who kind of dedicates their, you know, national presence to. But Pac-12 networks will have a few games. They'll be playing Oregon and Washington State early on in the season. And then regular season, ESPN3 has a few games, but also CBS Sports Network as well. So there are a few nationally televised games. But otherwise, once again, you know, being a mid-major program, it's hard to fight for attention when you get big-time schools out there. But I look at the University of Houston, for instance, as a perfect example. You know, they've done a great job being a, I guess you would say, perhaps a commuter school, but being in a large market and pretty hard to fight for people's attention. But they've done a good job of that. And San Jose State is right there as well. And they're trying to make the presence known, and having more televised games would help. But there's definitely ways still to be able to watch them. And I think Texans fans truly have a reason to.
And you're at MOEBAFA on Twitter. Is that right?
That is correct. On Instagram as well. But Twitter is pretty much where I can be found at MOEBAFA.
Hey, thanks so much for doing this. It was great to talk with you, Muhammad. It's Muhammad Bafakhi. Again, that's the Spear. Look it up. You got his Twitter handle right there, too. We're going to wrap things up really quick. Brian's got it all covered on House of Houston, a fan site affiliate, houseofhouston.com. Rockets, Astros, Texans, Cougars, everything in Houston sports by Houston Sports Talk Podcast. Easy to find. Also on iTunes, most anywhere you listen to your podcast. When you're done listening to Locked On Texans, rate us on iTunes. Tell us what you think or what you might suggest, and we'll definitely take it to heart. That's all we got for this one. As always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.